This is a Defocus Media production.
One.
Or two.
Hi guys, welcome to Primary Eye Guys. We're doing something a little bit different today.
Yeah.
Gagan's here with me, and we have another Canadian, Lindsay, we will introduce. And
hi.
Lindsay, yeah, say hi. Lindsay's also in the same program with us in TU Dublin. I think we're the only three Canadians
now. For now.
As far as I know. And I guess we wanted to talk a little bit about how we're all from the same place, we're all in the same program, but we have different ideas for what we want to do.
That's
when
true.
We either return home or even stay in Europe and practice.
For sure, for sure. So should I start?
Yeah, Gagan, if you'd like to kick it off for us.
Cool. So I think I might have mentioned it before, but I think what I want to specialize in is vision therapy and specialty contacts, but I want to have my own practice and not necessarily a multiple, but my own practice under my name, where I don't have any corporate guidelines to follow.
Yeah, and I think back home in Canada and sort of North America in general, we don't have, and Lindsay's from Newfoundland, for those of you out there who know where that is, on the east coast of Canada. Do you have any multiples in Newfoundland? By multiples, I mean like Specsavers or something like that.
Yeah, so we have a couple different ones. We have Vogue Optical and we have Cowan's Optical. So there would be a couple of those.
Yeah.
But we also have a lot of opticals that are run out of the optometrist's clinic. So if you went to the optometrist, they have their own optician that you can go to, which is very handy.
Yeah, so you don't have any like big chains, though.
Not huge ones. Yeah.
Do you have Lens Crafters?
No, we don't have any of those.
So.
Yeah, but I feel like that is, like we do have big chains.
Yeah.
Like, we have Lens Crafters, Pearle Vision. I mean, you could say Hakim could be one. Like, there's a lot of Canadian stores.
Only,
yeah.
But yeah, so what you're talking about is you want to own
your own. And I think that's still a viable option in our generation, at least, and our optometric community back home.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see anyway, but.
And do you have any other particular areas of interest? Any particular way you'd like to practice in particular?
So, yeah, I said vision therapy and specialty contacts, just because I think those are really relevant to my own condition as being a keratoconic and, you know, working in a vision clinic over the summer as well. It's something I really do enjoy. You make the most, I feel like those are the ones where you can make a huge impact on someone's life.
Very true. And do you... Like, how would you work those appointments out? Do you think it would be similar for most, say, vision therapy patients you see? Would you kind of have them on sort of like a regular regimen? Or would it be sort of you sort of give the exercises and that sort of, say, an optical assistant do a lot of the training for you, sort of under your supervised care?
Yeah, I think that it would be the best way to do it, you know. It's a combination of in-home and in-office therapy, just because... You know, you can't always trust your patients to be doing it right at home.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to have them come in to increase their compliance, but also just so that way it seems more tangible to the actual patient as well.
Yeah. So I guess you'd have to have like a bit of financial support when you're starting, because like you'd have to like have a lot of equipment in house to get started with all that, depending on.
But the great thing with setting up practices back home as a medical professional with certain banks, like I know RBC does, you can get almost 100% financing for medical practices. Now, I haven't fully done my research into how much they'd cover for optometric practices, but, you know, you do get a lot. But you just have to structure out your business well, and it makes sense to kind of build a clientele before you're able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I would jump right into it after graduating or anything like that, but
You have to.
It's something I want to do. Yeah,
get a bit of experience first, a bit of money first, maybe.
Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, for me, I don't say I have a specific interest 100% anyways. I'm kind of into color vision testing, but there's no real niche out there. And when I say niche, maybe a financial niche, in that there's no real benefit to specializing in color vision per se, unless you're in research.
Yeah.
Because how do you really charge someone extra just for color vision testing? I'm not so sure you can.
I think you could do it privately, though.
Yeah, maybe like if you're doing like, can't think of many careers that.
Or even occupational. Maybe employers would
pay for it.
Definitely.
But I think most
sometimes that could be a really big deal.
Yeah, and I don't know if like most of them would just need like a really basic screening test. Like I think that's how it usually works.
Yeah, well, I know like what you could do is let's say you wanted to start a contract with like the local mm-hmm. police department, fire department, okay, yeah. like that kind of stuff, and like you'd be the guy. Not yeah, many yeah. people do it.
That's true. Other than that, though, like I don't really want to own my own practice, which maybe differs from you guys. I would like to work for someone. I definitely want a family when I'm older, and I do not want the stress of yeah. having to like deal with employees and the workload that comes with that. So I definitely hope to return home to Canada. That's where I'm from.
Yeah, and I think we can all say
that. Yeah, we can all say that. And I'd like to work for someone, or even in a partnership, co-ownership with someone possibly, but definitely not out there on my own. I can't see myself doing that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of other interests in life, and I just, like, I can't imagine throwing myself only into optometry and that's it. But anyways, Lindsay, I think you've talked a little bit about working with kids.
Yeah, no, I grew up working with children. Every job that I've had, I've taught dance, I've taught summer camps,
yeah.
I've done a little bit of everything, so I've been really fond mm-hmm. of working with children, so that's kind of something that I'm pretty interested
yeah.
in, is maybe working with
mm-hmm.
the children's hospital back home called
mm-hmm.
the Janeway, and
wow, nice.
Working with like the ophthalmologists there and working with children,
mm-hmm.
or I did a bunch of shadowing before I came over to make sure that optometry was what I wanted to
mm-hmm.
do, and
right.
I actually got a great opportunity to see a local optometrist put in embryonic tissue
oh,
contacts
that's cool.
as
oh, yeah.
treatment for dry
this, yeah.
eye. So I've been really interested in dry eye ever since.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of leaning between the two, and pretty much I'll just see how the 4 years
mm-hmm.
roll out and how I feel at the end of the four
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting because right now in year one, and you know, your interest will change over time. Because I used to not like BV early on. I didn't even know what it was, you know?
Yeah.
And then you kind of get into your niche. Like, yourself, Danny, like, have you noticed that your interests
yeah, yeah,
have changed?
100%. But also, one thing I will say, on top of the dry eye thing, it's crazy now that we see patients in the NOC,
yeah.
how many people come in with dry eye
for
problems,
sure.
and I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Sometimes,
yeah.
I should, like, we've been taught how to do it, but, like, in the moment when you're just going through the exam and they're like, oh, I get really teary eyes or
yeah.
my eyes are super scratchy. I'm always like, oh, right, everyone's got dry eyes. Who gives a shit kind of thing. But it's
can
such...
be quite serious.
Yeah,
yeah,
it can be super serious. And, you know, I don't really get it myself, so it's
mm-hmm.
not a huge issue. But it has a huge impact on people's lives. And
definitely. And especially, like, if they're doing, like, radiation
mm-hmm.
stuff for treatment, they would... One of the side effects is dry eye, and so that comes off very,
yeah.
very thick for them.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, I think about now, day-to-day questions I always get, and dry eye has got to be one of the biggest ones that I should spend more time, even though I'm not super interested in it, just researching how to explain even the basic procedures to a patient, like the eye bag, or which drops to take, or which ones are more beneficial for which patient in particular.
You should just work out a routine. That's kind of what I do. Like,
yeah.
a lot of my patients that come in don't even know they have dry eye,
mm-hmm.
and, like, most of the time I'll be like, you know, hot compress if it's
mm-hmm.
something that's like restrictive, like they're just not getting enough gland secretion,
yeah.
or artificial lubricating drops if
yeah.
it's evaporative.
Yeah.
Like, then you can use ointments if it's stability issues.
Yeah, it's actually a cool idea.
Yeah.
We should almost like maybe like create like a chart, like a situational chart
oh, yeah,
for
like
dry eye.
Well, there is.
Is there? Oh shit! Okay. Well, I'm not inventing anything new here, but like if only that existed. Okay, well, we can print it out tonight. And
yeah.
tomorrow I will not.
Well, that's one thing
up.
That you can add to your CPD exercises, improving your dry eye regimen.
Yeah, well, it's, I think everyone's kind of got their thing, but dry eye, everyone should know a lot about because it's so common.
Yeah, for sure.
So common, yeah.
And I still feel kind of like an idiot.
But I do get what you're saying, though, like, because there's no continuity in symptoms. Like, somebody
yeah.
can have severe dry eye but not have any symptoms, or they can have mild to none and they're really complaining about it.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess it's very much only a person's,
yeah.
like,
exactly, it's subjective.
Yeah,
it's
how they feel and how like sensitive they are.
Yeah.
How sensitive their eyes are.
Yeah, and I sometimes feel that way because I'm looking at their eye, I'm like, you have no signs of dry eye, and they're complaining, and then you get another guy with like glands that are super
yeah.
blocked and just like totally nothing coming out of there, and they're just like, oh, I'm
yeah,
fine.
I don't
like,
notice.
Yeah, so yeah, I always found it kind of one of those tedious
right.
problems to deal with.
For sure, so. You know, Lindsay, you're saying dry eye is something you want to go into. I think maybe like you'll find contact lenses really interesting too, because they kind of go hand in hand.
Definitely, yeah. Well, like, when I saw these embryonics, like, membrane ones, I was like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
cool. Like, where I have a background
mm-hmm.
in biology, like, I was very intrigued by it. And
mm-hmm.
it's very similar to a contact lens, except it has, like, a plastic ring around
yeah.
it. So it's really cool, and it's something that the U.S. actually
yeah, yeah.
are really into. Is,
for sure.
Yeah, so she studied down in California, so she
oh,
still
cool.
goes down and gets, like, obviously stays up to date on her education,
right.
so... She's someone that I definitely admire from back home, so I'd love to study underneath her.
Yeah.
Did you go to the talk that we organized? Well, not us, but one of our professors organized. It was with Dr. Jackson from Belfast, and he was doing the same thing.
No, I actually haven't. No, I didn't.
No, it's really
I didn't
cool.
even.
Yeah, I didn't go either.
We weren't. We were. I don't think the professors were really told about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think down the road when you get
yeah, yeah.
like access to stuff like that,
yeah.
it would be a lot of fun.
But yeah, I guess those two topics they essentially go
yeah.
hand in hand. I feel like even when we learn about dry within the course, it's always
mm-hmm.
in the contact lens modules. Like I always thought during contact lens. Like those classes, we learn about just the lenses.
Contacts, yeah.
Right. But basically, the whole thing is like, you obviously do learn about the different lenses and stuff. The whole thing is about like problems associated with contact
yeah.
oh, okay,
lenses.
Okay, cool.
And that's the big one, basically.
True.
Is dry eye. I guess the other thing is when we're all going back home, we're all from different parts of the country,
yeah.
like. We're almost from east, central, west. I'm from
yeah,
west.
Yeah, we couldn't be more farther
yeah.
apart.
Yeah, so we're not really from the same place. Like, I'm from the west, like, close to Vancouver. Gagan, you're from Toronto, central, east-ish.
Yeah.
And Lindsay's from the far east, as far as you can go
yeah.
east,
right.
basically, in
yeah.
Canada.
And in North America, farthest.
Yeah, actually.
Farthest east
that,
in North America,
that's a very
yeah.
good point. I think I'm the farthest west in North America, actually. I just thought I was wondering about that.
That's pretty cool.
As far as we can go.
Yeah. And I think we all hope to return to our hometowns.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
definitely.
Or if not the same, like, hometown, at least the same province.
Yeah, like, somewhere
yeah.
close by. And
yeah.
our provinces are huge, so that could span
true.
Pretty far. But
mm-hmm.
And we all have pretty different ideas for what we want to do. And I think that's one of the cool things about optometry is that even though it's put into, like, a box of just very basic things we do day to day,
yeah,
the actual career itself has the opportunity to make what you want of it.
Definitely,
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I didn't realize how specialized a career it can be,
mm-hmm.
you know. I think we said it before. It's a career where you make what you want from it, you
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
100%, yeah.
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 And I think when you talk, you guys, especially when you're saying BV, vision therapy, and dry eye, I actually can't think of too many practitioners, or even, say, color vision, that's the one I mentioned.
Yeah.
There's not many practitioners within my hometown that have those things as a niche. I can
right.
think of one maybe per city. So, like, there's definitely a market there if you want to expand that way. Sometimes I imagine it's probably hard to start a practice.
For sure.
From scratch because just, like, a lot of this takes investment. I'm sure to, like, get the stuff for BV and for color vision testing or for specialized dry eye care, it must be an expensive startup because we don't get any help for that other than bank loans, like
yeah.
you said earlier.
Yeah,
Megan.
Exactly.
And you kind of have to hope people start showing up.
Exactly. There's
mm-hmm.
there is a bit of kind of hidden hope there because if no one does come, well, you've wasted a lot of money on fancy
yeah,
eye equipment.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So my best guess is we'll probably all imagine we'll all work in sort of like multiples
yeah.
or like for someone first.
Oh, definitely.
And
yeah.
then
we'll get a good clientele or
true.
Get a patient.
Bit of money coming in.
Yeah,
yeah,
get a good patient list and then branch out.
Mm-hmm.
That
for
way
sure.
you can also almost take over their
mm-hmm.
clinic if you go for someone who's a little bit older and close
yeah.
to retiring.
Yeah.
You know, they
yeah,
can help
true.
Ease you in and then
ooh,
you can take over the clinic.
That's a good tactic. Swoop in while they're getting old. And I was going to ask Lindsay too, do you know, you might have no idea, but like in St. John's, which is in Newfoundland, are there many ophthalmologists working there, like many surgeons?
There isn't, actually.
There
there's
can't
very
be that
few.
Many,
yeah, there's very few. So as far as I know of two.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And actually, one of my friends from home actually just got accepted into
woo!
Ophthalmology
oh, nice.
Soon as residency. Yeah.
Great.
Which is a great thing.
We'll
but
expand on those two
yeah.
ophthalmologists.
So, yeah. So, we actually only have two.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, funny enough, so one of them works for the local LASIK MD. So,
okay,
that would
yeah,
be
yeah.
like the laser eye surgery
mm-hmm.
clinic. And so, he works there. So, he would do the laser eye surgeries. And I know someone who went into laser eye surgery, had a little bit of complication,
mm-hmm.
and then had to go to the hospital. And then the same guy was the one who did his surgery.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so that's how small
yeah.
St. John's is. Yeah, there's a lot of need for ophthalmologists, actually.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we've talked about on previous podcast episodes before that in locations that are a bit more rural, we'll say. I wouldn't call St. John's rural, but like...
Oh, compared to the rest of Canada, it probably is, for sure.
It's getting in those realms that, like, you know, other healthcare roles, like such as optometry, you have to take on a bit more of an expanded role because of
definitely.
That. And I'm not sure what the law is like in Newfoundland, but like it's probably one of those provinces that would benefit from an increased scope of practice within optometry.
Yeah, definitely.
So, oh, you know, hopefully we see that down the line. Obviously,
yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, well,
but
that's very similar
sure.
to the girl who specializes in dry eye. So she actually works hand in hand with
yeah.
the hospital. So if someone, say, has cancer, goes through chemo
mm-hmm.
and ends up getting very severe dry eye from it,
oh,
they'd actually
yeah.
refer her,
mm-hmm.
refer them to her. So she's actually the only one, I think,
yeah.
in Newfoundland that does it. And she actually doesn't live in the city next
mm-hmm.
to the hospital. So she lives, like, an hour outside of town.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there was two, one that could be inside of town
mm-hmm.
would actually benefit greatly.
Where did she do her training?
She was down in California.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I totally forget which... Oh, I know Berkeley's there. There's another optometry school in California. I totally forget
yeah,
which
I
one
I can't
it
remember which one it was. I just know she was down in Cali.
Yeah. But that's really cool because I never heard of an optometrist doing that, but I'm sure...
Yeah, it was really cool to
yeah.
see, and especially as, like, I mean, someone who hadn't done
yeah,
any
yeah.
optometry school then. So I shadowed a bunch, and a lot of them, you know, you get your different scopes of shadowing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they'll just shove you in the corner, and you just watch, like, a fly
yeah,
on the
yeah,
wall.
Exactly.
And
yeah, yeah.
Other times they let you, like, get your hands on and get to actually use the
mm-hmm.
slit lamp and get to see, like, you know, different cataracts and glaucoma.
That'll be good for, like, next year and third year.
Yeah,
like,
so the dry eye was something
mm-hmm.
that I actually wasn't even supposed to see. So she was just coming into the clinic that I was shadowing
mm-hmm.
because this certain patient had severe dry eye and that she wasn't able to drive out the hour
okay.
outside of town, so she actually came in to do it.
Yeah,
so I actually wasn't even supposed to see that day, but it just happened to be that day that I got to go in, and it was really cool. You
yeah.
know, it was definitely an experience for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, that's really cool to see, because I actually didn't even know that was a thing you could do for dry
eye. Yeah, until this year, basically.
Yeah, so yeah, really cool that optometry's pushing that direction.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, I was going to ask you as well, do you know when you're back home, say you're starting someone up for vision therapy, is there, we talk about it a bit here, especially I'm thinking like amblyopia and stuff
yeah.
like that. Do you think you'd get like clientele from that sort of area? It's not necessarily vision therapy, but like, would that expand into someone who's just like knows how to prescribe occlusion therapy? Do you think those things go hand in hand? I actually have no idea.
Yeah, I think so.
You think so? Because like, I sometimes wonder in my hometown, if every optometrist, or even in Ireland here, does every optometrist comfortable prescribing occlusion therapy?
It's kind of one of those things that's scary.
It does seem scary to me. That's what I was wondering if you knew. I know you've done some BV shadowing
yeah.
in the past and stuff.
I haven't seen a lot of occlusion therapy just because the clients that I had seen or the patients
mm-hmm.
I had seen weren't ambiopic patients. It
mm-hmm.
was more so like weaknesses and deficiencies
mm-hmm.
and post-concussive therapies.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, that was her scope of practice. And I think a lot of optoms, even that don't specialize in vision therapy, would do occlusion therapy.
Oh, you think
if,
so, yeah.
Because the training is, like, we've done the lectures now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, the guidelines are pretty standard.
There is.
Yeah,
it's one of those things, like, I just feel a bit like one of our lecturers is really interested
yeah.
in vision therapy. And I just feel like, personally, I'd be, like, slightly, I don't want to say scared, but just commencing it and messing it up more
yeah.
than anything. So it just seems like one of those things I'd be, like, a little nervous about. And I was kind of wondering, like, do BV specialists end up with a lot of referrals that are just like, hey, confirm that they actually need this and this is the right way to do it?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be interesting because I think down the road we'll actually get... our BV or our vision therapy professors to come on board and kind of talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
I think
so.
Yeah, that was sort of just a side question.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it for a while. I just never really brought
yeah.
it up. Yeah.
No, it's interesting.
Cool. Well, that's probably us. Like,
yep.
we all have different things we want to do. We're all from Canada. And Lindsay, thanks for coming
yep.
on.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Lindsay's also our roommate. By the way, so it's not like we had to go far to find her.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe one day when you listen back to this, we'll see if...
we all still want to do the
yeah,
same
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, we're all probably back home washing cars or
oh,
something.
Jesus.
Even in optometry.
Or working in the same clinic. Who knows?
Oh, God. Imagine. Can you imagine? I can't imagine.
Northwest Territories.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to Primary Eye, guys.